It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
Givers around the world, tune in. It's time to lift you up. It's time to celebrate. Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers with love, laughter, and lessons learned on the show where you can find help and hope. We're just here to help you caregivers in any way we can. We know your journey is not easy, but we have a lot of good resources and we have a lot of laughs and we have some tears and it's all good. And today we have Mr. Ed on the boards. How are you, Ed?
Friday.
Last Friday. Tomorrow's April Fool's.
Already. Seems like last week was New Year's Eve, wasn't it?
Oh, my God. This year's gone very fast and been very crazy.
Too fast. Man.
Too fast. But it's good to see you today, my friend. And Lynn, unfortunately, is not here today. She's still having some dental work. Ouch. And she has, though, her fabulous cousins just came into town, Janet and Gary. So welcome, Janet and Gary. And I'll be talking to them. Yeah, I just thought I shut it off. I guess I didn't. Anyway. So with me today, I have Maureen Famiano. How are you?
I'm great, Linda. How are you doing?
Fabulous. I'm so glad that you're here today. We have a lot to chat about.
Yes. Happy Friday.
A lot to chat about. Yeah, happy Friday. So the first thing I want to do is give a shout out to our newest listeners. We have Mike in Tampa. We have Steph in Largo. And we have Penny in St. Pete. And like I always say, there's plenty of room around the Connecting Caregivers table for more listeners. Whether it's live on the show or on YouTube or on Facebook, we're just here to help you with resources and a shoulder. But I'm very excited to say that the Connecting Caregivers Conference, May 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, the website launched last night. So please go to connectingcaregiversconference.com. Just remember, I don't understand, it's 3 days virtual, so you don't have to leave your home, you don't have to find someone to take care of your loved one, you don't have to get dressed up, find a parking spot or nothing.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Best kind.
Yeah. But just know, I don't expect anyone really to sit there for 3 days through 21 hours of presenters. As long as you register for the conference, within 30 days you will receive 21 videos of the conference that you can watch at your leisure and share with your friends and whatever. So that's a really good point, I feel. So our keynote speaker is Dr. Kate McCarty. And her topic is Prescription for Survival for the Silent Patient, well-being and Resilience Despite a Diagnosis. And then we have Debbie Yonis, who's going to talk about Progressive Aphasia. We have Lisa Keith and Ellie Baldwin, the Roadmap to Senior Care. Then at lunchtime, we have Sound Bowl Meditation with Brenda and Rick. And then once again, our friends from AE Corner Adaptive Equipment will come back from 1:20 to 5 to 150 each day with new pieces of equipment that will help you as caregivers in the bathroom, in the kitchen. You know, my Tuesday tip this week was about grab bars.
So essential.
Well, I'm telling you now, they got like custom grab bars where you can get them in colors to match your bathroom. There's fabulous ones that it's your toilet paper holder. Because, you know, people grab onto that kind
right.
of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a shower, like where your shampoo is. Things we don't even know about it. And I have to say that fall prevention is so important because the fall can be the end.
It can. So that's amazing. I mean, and it's so good that they come up with new things because
yeah.
you don't want to grab a hold of the little toilet thing that isn't ready for the
Or the shower, the towel rack.
No.
How many times that happens and then it breaks. That's
right.
not what it's built for. And please, please, please don't get any ones that go on with suction cups.
Mm-mm.
It's not good. And if you read on the package, it says, this is not weight-bearing. It's really like a towel holder. So, and if you cannot afford to have grab bars put in your house, there are many resources available that will come in and do it for you. There are fire departments that do it and police departments that do it. So if you need any of that information, just email me through the website, lindaburhans.com, and I'll let you know about that because it's so important because the fall can be the end.
Tremendous.
So AE Corner will come and do their fabulous presentations. And then we have Tanya Straker, 6 Hacks to Beat Caregiver Burnout. And most of us kind of know what we're supposed to be doing, but, you know, we need those reminders, and sometimes it's just a different way to look at it, too. And then we have Attorney Sean Scott. Is it even legal using Medicaid, PACE, and other benefits to pay for the cost of senior care? So there may be many things that you can do to prepare for Phoenix, because we know what the prices are.
It's astronomical.
They're craziness. And Sean Scott's been doing this for 33 years and has not had a Medicaid case that was not successful. Because when you fill out those applications, if you decide you're going to do it yourself, and there's one comma not in the right place, you're waiting another like 6 to 8 months for anybody to even look at it.
End of the list.
Yeah. And then we have Teresa Wilbanks, who, thank you, God, this is our fourth conference. She's been with us for every conference. From Sustainable Caregiving, I love her book, Construct Your Own Empowered Caregiver Support System. And then we have Kim Saberi and Dr. London Butterfield from St. Anthony's Bay Care, and they're going to talk about neurocognitive disorders, brain wellness, and caregiver support. Then we're going to have at lunchtime Nancy Brewers, chair yoga and mindful motion. AE Corner will be back. Then we have Deb Hallisey, stop the merry-go-round, I want to get off. I've said that a few times.
You have?
When I'm not even in a caregiving situation.
We've all been there.
Yeah. And then we have Tony Giddles, three more steps to master the dance of caregiving. Then on Thursday, we have Mary Higby from Accent Care. I happen to be on the board of Accent Care Hospice. 10 things you need to know about hospice care, because everybody thinks that hospice is a dirty word. And it's not. And it's support not just for your loved one, but for you as the caregiver. I remember when my husband was on hospice and the nurse would come to the house and she would take all his vitals and everything. And she's like, I think I need to take yours too, Linda. Oh, well, somebody was caring about me.
Right, right.
That was a big deal. Mm-hmm.
You're not forgotten because you're doing what you can for your loved one.
Yeah. And then we have Jesse Brown, Catalyst for Connections. And she's the gal that builds the QR codes for your loved ones so we can have better connections. And then we have Reverend Jerry Ketteridge, the spiritual impact in healthcare. I think that's really important because I don't know how you go through a caregiving experience if you don't have any faith, if you don't have any, it's so hard. Mm-hmm. It's so hard. And then Mary Jane Cronin will be talking about journaling for caregivers. Okay, so while we're on that subject, I get a call the other day from this gal who I haven't spoke to in like 5 years. She was in my support group maybe 10, 12 years ago. She had come down from Georgia to take care of her mom. Her dad had already passed away. And she used to come to the support group with, you know, as far as caring for her mom. And then her mom passed away, and then she went back to Georgia. Well, a couple of years later, she calls me and she goes, I'm back. I said, what's going on? She said, I'm back in Florida. I'm taking care of my godmother.
Mm.
She said, and I have to tell you that my godmother is an artist, so every part of her house is paintings and clay and sculptures and all this stuff.
A museum.
Yeah. She said, but my aunt can't really do too much of any of that stuff anymore, and she really misses it. She said, my aunt used to always tell me that when she would go in her garden, she had a beautiful garden, when she would go in her garden, that is when she would feel closest to God, when she was out there planting and everything. Well, we really can't do that right now with her aunt's condition. So what this fabulous woman did is she contacted all her family and friends and said, can you please send her pots with soil and bulbs and a note?
Oh.
And they started coming in. And they started coming in. And she goes, every day another pot would come in, we would plant them in the house, and then one would bloom, and then the next one would bloom, and then the next one would bloom. She said, and when the very one last one bloomed, my aunt passed away.
Oh, my goodness.
I got goosebumps everywhere.
That's
so
beautiful.
She said that what she did was she took all the pots and she brought them back to Georgia and she made a memory garden of her aunt.
How beautiful.
So she calls me this week to tell me that she's now in the business of helping people make memory gardens.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
One of her challenging roads led to a beautiful idea, which led others to find some peace and connectivity.
Right.
That's
right.
Beautiful.
And she's like, and my aunt loves it. I'm talking about her every day.
Right.
I said, yeah, it's like my mother. She loves it. I talk about her every day. But what, you know, and you get to meet these beautiful people and these beautiful souls. Mm-hmm. And she said some people don't even live in the state where I am. They just email me. So she's getting ready to start a website and stuff. So when she does, I'll let everybody know.
No, what a nice idea.
Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. It's like, you know, love can grow out of anything. Mm-hmm. We just got to find it. So that's about where we got for. Oh, no. So I got off course. So it's about the journaling. There was another caregiver that I heard from recently who used to come to my journaling workshop, I don't know how many years ago. And she was taking care of her dad. And she was really having a hard time. But when she started coming to the support groups and the journaling workshop, things seemed to be getting a little better.
Good.
And her sister came to visit. And her sister said to her, "You look fabulous since the last time I've seen you. What are you doing?" And she said to her sister, "Well, I found out about resources that I had no idea about and help that I could get in, and that's been wonderful." Now, meanwhile, the dad's sitting in the other room in his wheelchair. And her sister's like, "That's great." You know, and she said, "I'm trying to eat better. I'm really trying to pay attention to myself, too, you know, because we got to do that."
Sure.
She said, "I'm going to this journaling workshop, and the best thing is I can get out my feelings in a non-judgmental way. If I want to share, I can, or whatever." And from the other room, her dad yells, "Isn't it nice somebody can get their feelings out?" So the two daughters go in, and they go, "Dad, we want to help you in any way we can," because he was kind of like snarky that she was getting help.
Oh.
You know, kind of feeling like, and I'm the person here or whatever. So he said, "Do you think you might like to journal, Dad? Because years ago we used to write."
Okay.
And he was like, "I don't know." So they gave him a black and white composition book.
There you go.
And said, "If you want to, you want to." Well, a couple months later, she comes to my support group and she said, "I can't even begin to tell you what has happened."
Oh.
And I'm like, "What?" And she said, "My dad wrote and wrote in the book for days, like angrily wrote in the book, and then took the book and gave it to my sister and I and said, 'You want to see how I feel?'"
Oh.
And it said, "I am tired of being a burden to everybody."
Oh.
"I am tired about not being able to go out by myself."
Mm-hmm.
"I am tired that I don't have any friends anymore. I am tired. I am tired. I am tired." So the daughter said, "A burden to us, Dad?
Mm.
You had 3 jobs when we were kids. You took care of us."
Yeah.
"You're not a..." And they went through every single item.
Oh.
So she said to me, "My dad wants to know if he can come to your journaling workshop."
Oh.
I'm like, "Heck yes."
Oh, see?
His name is Joe from Brooklyn.
Keep going, Joe.
Maybe the best meatballs I ever had in my life.
Oh, boy. Meatballs. Yummy.
Tells his little story in the journaling workshop and then opens up his new journal. And it says, "I'm grateful that I have a family that takes care of me. I am grateful when my daughter goes for a walk, I can go with her."
It went from "I'm tired" to "I'm grateful" after journaling. Isn't that interesting?
What a connection between her and her dad then and her sister.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because he was actually expressing how he was feeling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because many times, I'm telling you, when we're in our caregiving experience, we're so wound up in how we feel, like, oh, this is, like, so hard, especially if we're dealing with Alzheimer's and dementia. Well, I always say, think about how they feel.
Yeah, yeah.
Think about how they feel. So, you know, the most important part of caregiving isn't that I'm giving you your medicine, that we're going to the bathroom, that we're eating. The most important is that we're talking.
Right, right. And those nuggets of communication that led to this, right? I mean,
yeah.
what a win to have that, to come, not full circle, but half circle, right? To having him express his emotions and feelings, have the sisters feel like, okay, now we're connecting again. I mean, that's just
a big win. He passed away a couple of years ago.
Oh.
And it was delightful.
Mm.
You never, you know, I try to say to caregivers, because they get so bent out of shape, you don't want your loved one's last days, last months, last years, or however, whatever your caregiving journey is, to be tense,
right,
to be uncomfortable.
Right. Because that's precious, precious moments left.
Well, you love them so much because you're taking care of them. Mm-hmm. They mm-hmm. love you so much because you're taking care of me. Mm-hmm. So let's acknowledge that.
Right, right.
Let's acknowledge that. Okay, back to the conference. So,
but these are good things for your listeners to say, wow, maybe they'd have some communication breakthroughs, because they can.
Exactly.
They just have to be open to a new opportunity that they may not have thought of before.
And know that they're not alone.
Right. No.
That they're not alone. Mm-mm. You know that's the biggest deal.
It is.
All right. So then we'll have AE Corner again, and then we're going to have Alexis Gracie from United Tissue Donation, because people only know about donating organs or donating this, and the many other ways that can be helpful. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to wrap it up with I Fly Solo, IFS. So that's my new little creation here, because mm-hmm. I found that my caregivers, and not just my caregivers, their loved one passes away, or ladies that I know that are divorced after 44 years, or someone that I've just chosen not to have. Well, we haven't taken care of ourselves. I've been taking care of my loved one from, let's say, 1 to 5 years. Well, now he's gone.
Now what?
Yeah.
Right.
So I Fly Solo, we're going to create a meetup, and we're going to have some Zoom meetings where the ladies in I Fly Solo will decide, who do you want to speak to? An elder care attorney, a doctor, or whatever, mm-hmm. an organizer, mm-hmm. or whatever, and we'll have speakers. Then locally, and other people can do this in other areas that they want, we're going to have social events, like go to the movies, go out to dinner, you know, or whatever. And then we're also going to have a Zoom once a month that is called I Get to Complain.
Oh.
So one of my caregivers said to me recently, so my husband died 2 years ago. My girlfriend died last week. My sister died 6 months ago.
Hmm.
I can't drive anymore. And I am mad, Linda.
Right.
But if I let my daughter know about this, she's just going to be so worried about me.
Oh.
Who do you talk to?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we're going to do that once a month. And it's going to be, I get to complain, or, you know, the other word. And we'll just say at the beginning of the call, if this is not what you want to hear or whatever, mm-hmm. don't have to be there. But mm-hmm. I think sometimes you just need that voice.
Well, and you need to know that others maybe have been through it, that there's another side after a couple weeks, months, what have you, and that you're not, again, you're not alone.
Well, and how long have we been isolated with COVID and mm-hmm. everything else?
Mm-mm.
There are women I know that I'll say, hey, 3 of us are going to the movies tomorrow. Do you want to go? Oh, yes!
Right.
They want to get out!
Yes, right.
We got to be alive again!
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So. And they do. That's brilliant. I love the phrase, and I think that's going to be a big hit.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. So go to connectingcaregiversconference.com and please register.
Perfect.
So Maureen, we've known each other for a while. You've been on my podcast and a few other things, and you're an amazing woman. And it was so nice for Mark to write those nice comments.
It was.
He's so
Mark O'Donnell.
Fabulous.
He's awesome.
He is such a fabulous man.
He is.
Yeah. So kudos to you, Mark.
And you're connecting caregivers. He's connecting local business people.
Yeah.
So it's awesome.
Yeah. And he does a really good job of it.
He does.
Because I used to run networking groups years ago before mm-hmm. he started RGA.
Nice.
And it was really very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good thing. It's good just to be able to connect.
Absolutely.
So you're a storyteller and advocate. And right now you have a business where you're helping other people with that. But I want to talk about how we got there. Because I think that's the most important thing to know. How you got here, how other caregivers or people that are facing illnesses can approach their life. So let's go back to where you started.
Well, for me, I've always been very curious, and for me, journalism was something that I did pursue in high school. I said, I want to do that, and I'm the one who did that. Going to college, studying broadcasting, being a reporter, producer, executive producer, and being a storyteller, telling people stories and connecting and sharing, kind of like you're talking
about. Yeah,
life
is storytelling.
Life is storytelling, and everybody has a story, and,
yep.
and sometimes they just need somebody to talk to, even in a Publix line or a grocery store line
exactly.
or a bank line, what have you. But I'm a good listener, and sometimes I find people open up to me, and they often say,
because they know you're listening.
Well, it's the authenticity that
yep.
that you care, and you everybody should be listened to properly, and
yeah.
it's not hard. I find it's not hard, people.
No.
But some people don't have the time or energy or what have you. But I want to make the time because people matter. So for me, and I think where you're going is, as a storyteller, I tell other people's stories. That's what I do. And as a producer. But something happened a number of years ago where I became my own story.
Okay. So let's just take a break here for a couple of minutes because I don't want to cut you off. It's time to hear from our wonderful partners, so don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Are you looking for compassionate and dependable home care for you or a loved one? Assisting Hands Home Care, serving Pinellas and Pasco counties, can help.
The day came that taking care of my mother was no longer the best thing for me or for her. Between kids and a job, I couldn't give her the attention she needed and deserved, and I was overwhelmed. So I reached out to Assisting Hands Home Care. Now I can see what an important decision that was, and I feel confident that my mother has compassionate and dependable caregivers who help her to stay happy, healthy, and home. Today, I'm able to visit with my mother and enjoy our time together, which is exactly what we both needed.
Assisting Hands Home Care. Call today for your free in-home consultation. In Pinellas, call 727-748-4211 or visit assistinghands.com. When you can't do it all, give Assisting Hands a call.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Sean W. Scott has been practicing elder law and qualifying clients for Medicaid for over 30 years. While his practice is in all areas of estate planning, such as durable power of attorney, healthcare surrogates, and wills, he also prides himself on having a 100% accuracy rate on getting clients approved for Medicaid. Why Medicaid, you may ask? Do you want to pay up to $16,000 a month for a nursing home should the time come? Obviously, no one wants to have to endure this cost. So, even though you may have planned well for retirement, the reality is, things happen. Planning ahead is never too soon. You need to make sure your income and assets are protected so that you can take care of you and your loved ones. Florida law is very specific on how and what is protected and how to protect it. Give Sean a call. He can help. 727-539-0181. That's 727-539-0181.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back, my friends. Let's continue our conversation. So you had a health crisis.
Yeah.
Is that what how we want to go with it?
We can. It wasn't a bump in the road. It was more like a big hole, but
yeah, but yeah. Or a mountain.
It was a bit. Yes. So for me, it started when I was ignoring signs because I'm a doctor, right? No.
Yeah.
Journalist.
And I'm a busy girl.
Busy. Take care of the
kids.
And I have
a family.
Take care of the kids, but for me, yeah. As we all know, as we're caregivers or different people in the family, they do different things for others. But for me, it ended up being I had to go to the doctor because there was something happening. Well, when I went in, they said, we can't see anything. You need to be referred somewhere else.
Right there. It's scary.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, okie doke. So what it ended up being was earlier than the screenings were needed, I needed to get a colonoscopy. At the time, screenings were 50 years old. That has since changed. It's been lowered. Because I think more and more people were being discovered having issues, and I was one of them. So when they did the colonoscopy, there we go. Houston, we have a problem.
Yeah.
That's when they found the 3-centimeter size kiwi in my colon.
Kiwi.
That's not a great discovery.
No.
So I remember waking up from the colonoscopy only to ask my mother several times, so what did they find? But I had such a high dose of that, I couldn't remember that I was asking. So she, God bless her, had to tell me like 4 times, well, they found something. And then I couldn't remember because I was still under the...
Right.
So I had to talk to many surgeons to figure out what my options were. None of them were great.
And how old were you at the time?
I was 45.
Okay.
And being a journalist and being an advocate, we were talking in the break about asking questions and not settling and just think, is there a better way? Is there something else I should be asking? I tell everybody, do that. Ask the questions. Don't settle.
And if you don't get the answers, you need another doctor.
You do. Or if they go too fast, ask them to repeat it. Or now with phones.
Or bring your tape recorder with you.
Everybody has their phones now. Just record it. Have somebody else go with you, but record it so you can play it back to say, to listen to what they said.
When I took my mom to the doctor and they said she had cancer, I didn't hear a word after that.
No.
Not a word.
No. So the discovery led to the find, which led to the diagnosis, which ended up being stage 3 colon cancer.
God.
And we didn't get staged until after I had gone to several doctors and surgeons to figure out what my situation was. I was going the chemo route first to shrink it and then deal with what we were going to deal with. But then at the last minute, they said, no, you need to get it out. Okay.
Yeah.
It's uncharted territory. I guess that's okay. And I was working at Channel 8 at the time, locally here at NBC, and I said, okay, Houston, we're changing our direction. I need to be out now. And it was after the surgery and then going back. This is the quick version. And, it's the abdomen. So everything you do is the muscles laughing, getting up, walking, all of that. I was like, okay, we did it. We're done. Woohoo. They're like, well, here's the situation. It was in the lymph nodes. So you're not done. So for me, it was deciding, okay, now what? And I had 3 opinions to get to that decision about which way to go. So anybody listening, don't settle for the first doctor surgeon that gives you an advice or a suggestion. Ask for at least 2 opinions. I'm a big advocate for multiple opinions.
You just do that when you get your roof fixed.
You do. And then you have to trust your gut and trust the bedside manner, the care, ask other people,
how you feel.
All of that.
Right.
All of that with your decision. It's your body. There's no right or wrong, but there's better. So
well,
go for the better.
I always find it interesting. I tell some of my caregivers, if they're having like little issues with their doctor, talk to the people in the waiting room. If they're all having the same issues, then there's an issue.
Right. Or, it may be a follow-up. Are they willing to listen to whatever the situation is now? There's nothing worse than hearing stories of people who've gone through something big and then they can't get in again.
Yeah.
Because their job is done, so next,
we're finished.
No. And I've advocated for strangers because I hear this story.
Yeah.
But after I went back, that's when they said, it is not done. It's stage 3 because it's in the lymph nodes, which meant chemo and radiation. So that was exciting.
Yeah.
So, and I was at Moffitt at the time, so it was chemo, followed by radiation, followed by chemo. And it's over a period of time, a 48-hour drip. I would go in on Wednesdays for my chemo treatment with 4-hour infusion. I would go home with it attached to me for 48 hours, working through it. And I would go back Friday afternoon.
Still being a wife and a mother.
Right. And at the station, I would have the chemo attached, which would be the slow drip. And it almost looked like not a fancy water bottle, but like, wow, she can't hold her water bottle. She's going to have it around her body. If only it was just a water bottle.
Exactly.
But I did it, and I had to do it. My kids were young at the time, and I was living for them and my future.
Sometimes
and
you have
I
to fight
done.
For your life.
I wasn't done. It was more I wanted to do. Yep.
So, what happened after that?
Well, I think when something like that happens, you have cancer, reverberates in your brain, in your body, in your life. And you have to figure out what you're going to do about it. So for me, it was beating it, winning.
Yeah.
And I did. And figuring out, well, now what? What am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
And I'm still here.
Right.
And for me, it was back to work, and I was at work most of the journey. But concentrating on the positive things, concentrating on the good things, the motivating things, the inspiring
things
that are
happening.
And you were a journalist. Yes. And I had the power to do it, and I was doing that already, but it went into a little bit of an overdrive because I love that story type.
Yeah.
And even with what I was doing, I got back into my crazy, busy, journalist mode, and I wasn't done with my health because it came back after 7 years. You passed the 5-year mark, and you're good.
7 years.
And at the 7-year mark, when I went back for yet a colonoscopy again, that's when they said, well, actually, it ended up being that the vessel in which the polyps were forming in overdrive was the colon, so the colon had to go, which was always a possibility, but now it had to. So if you know anything about this sort of challenge, that meant an ileostomy.
Yeah.
And not one, not two, not three, but 4 surgeons told me that's what I would face for the rest of my life.
And explain to some people that don't understand what that is.
An ileostomy is a bag that helps you remove the waste, and when you go to the bathroom, that's what happens. You have a bag that
attached
helps
to your
you,
body. That,
attached to right. your body. And many people are very active, able, capable
yep.
of living a beautiful life with it. I just wanted to see what else was out there for an option.
And you're still so young.
And I was. And I said, goodness, I'm pretty active. I do lots of things and just busy, busy. I'm like, there has to be another way. So I didn't settle for 3 opinions giving me the same answer. And a colleague in the medical field said, well, I know somebody in the medical community. He is in this lane of specialty. Maybe I can get you in. And I never want to pull my, you know, better than anybody
exactly.
else card ever, ever, ever. But I thought, oh,
I
my goodness.
Help.
I said, you know what? That would be lovely if you could. She did. I got in. And he said, well, let's try something. So basically what they did was they created an internal pouch because my colon was going to have to go that would help alleviate waste, if you
right.
will. And I would not need a bag forever. I said, here's the deal. I'm pretty tough. Don't tell me that because you think I need to hear that.
Right.
Tell me that because you think it can work.
Right.
And we're ready to go.
Yeah.
And he said, I wouldn't tell you if I didn't think it could or would. And I said, that's good enough for me. So we did it, and that was a 8-hour surgery removing the colon and then 3 more hours in recovery. So my poor family had a crazy long day. But
yeah,
at the end of it.
And recouping.
And recouping. So I had an ileostomy for 6 months. So they had to create that while I healed
right.
to then go back to see if we were able to make it work.
Right.
So that was a journey, and I can appreciate people who have an ileostomy. I know wound care. I know that challenge. I lived it.
Yeah.
And I went to a digestion's hard, even now, without a colon, because you can't absorb food right.
Right.
The whole nutrition part is challenging. But you wouldn't know it if you talked to me. But I have my banana every day, and I have to take fiber and all that good stuff. But
which
when I
okay.
went...
Okay, we all got to do something.
We all got to do something. But I am still here.
Yeah.
And I went to a nutrition event, if you will, or other people in the same lane to find out, like, what do you do? How are you getting your nutrients? Because I know I'm not. And I was losing weight, and it was just hard and whatever. By the time they got around to me, there were probably 25 strong. It was at Tampa General Hospital. I was so incensed, I can remember it like it was yesterday, that people were forgotten about by surgeons and doctors and what have you because their surgery was done.
Yeah, done.
So they moved on to their next patient, whatever. Which is fine, I get that. But the staff... configuration wasn't so that it could help them in their aftermath of their
yeah.
big challenge. So by the time they got to me, I was so angry that I was like going around the table saying, you need to ask for another opinion about whatever they told you. That is not right. You need to find somebody else too. And it just made me so angry that by the time
yeah.
I was just so incensed that my question and reason for being there seemed so small.
Yeah.
But I didn't even ask it because I was like, I've got nothing to worry about. I'm just going to figure it out on my own. And I hoped it was a quick little journey in this space,
yeah.
which it did end up being. And I didn't know
Thank
that
God.
It was 3 more months, 4 more months at the time. But that's why we were talking before about asking questions, don't settling. And these people were in the settle mode. And I'm like, oh, heck no, not on my watch.
Not with your health.
No. And it was just so sad. All ages. Young, old, middle-aged. It was just so sad. So now I'm almost to my 5-year anniversary.
Yay!
Of, thank you. Of I kind of joke. It's kind of like I'm colonless, going back to words and stuff, wordsmith. But I have but I have an exclamation behind my journey, my story, my lane, my advocacy.
Yeah.
Because I'm not done, and if I can share with other people to fight it, to ask questions, I'm helping a couple of people now who are in the different battles and journeys that I'm like, okay, well, you need to ask this, and you don't let that go. And did my story mean anything? You know what I did, because I did wait. I waited. I thought it was going to go away, and it didn't. So that's the journey that I then went on. Maybe
right.
it would have been a different stage and not as bad, but
Whatever.
I didn't do it right. So, but I fought it and I advocated for myself. And you have to advocate for your loved one or people that you care about.
Yeah.
And don't get upset and don't settle, which led me to, I think, part of a journey in helping people tell their stories, sharing advocacy, and not giving up, which I think is part of my purpose.
Yeah, I do too. And I definitely think so.
I think faith is very important to me. I was very upset when it first happened. I had my moments. I had my, you know, pity party.
I'm mad.
Very mad. I'm like, what? But I'm like, okay, well, what are we going to do about it? I'm a happy person, and I'm going to get through this.
Exactly.
And I'm not going to be down and out. And people, I remember in Moffitt even getting my infusions. I'd wear colorful colors. I'd be happy going through it. We got to make the best of it.
Yeah.
That people would be in the waiting room thinking that I'm waiting for somebody else coming back.
That you're not the patient.
That I'm not the patient. And they'd look down, and they would see my wristband, and they're like, right. Oh, she's the patient. I could look at her,
and she's smiling.
And it was almost like a deli number. They wanted to be in the chemo chair next to me.
People want to.
It's like you want to be surrounded by people who can lift you up, whoever that is, for any situation, and survive.
Yeah.
So my purpose and part of this book that I was involved with was called Step Into Your Brilliant Purpose. It's an anthology. It's a year old now. It's an international bestseller. And U.S. bestseller.
So cool.
And it's about my purpose and why I'm still here. I could not be here, but I am. I think it's a bigger power.
But see, you know you needed a purpose, and you know about a purpose. A lot of people, they're like, what's my purpose?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and you got to sit down and think about, what is my purpose?
What gives you joy?
What do I do best? What makes me smile? Mm-hmm. What makes other people smile when they see me?
Right.
Because everybody has one.
They do, and I try to tell my children too. For you, you know, you have to do something every day that you love. And I know when I pivoted from my studio work in journalism to starting my own business, which we haven't even talked about, but I started my own business to help others flourish and grow, and that gives me great pride and joy. But I said, you guys, my children, 24 and 21, I said, you have to figure out what gives you purpose, what gives you joy. And they're like, we know you're a happy mom. We know you don't like what you do. I'm like, I do, as do my friends and colleagues. But it's about figuring out what you're already doing and of the things that you're doing, what gives you joy and purpose?
Yes.
There is something.
Some people don't sit down and even think about that.
And if there's not, then pause, which is hard. I don't really have a pause button, but it's important to do that. But figure out what does. Yeah. And then if you can share it, however you share it, then you can be a resource for others to get through it, to beat it, to ask questions. Maybe you're a good gardener like you talked about earlier. You can help people that way. Whatever it is, they all matter.
And if you're not sure, talk to your friends. Say, what am I good at? What you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Or talk to a coach or talk to somebody. All right, so this thing then led into a new business.
Well, it did, because I would help people in my line of work. They would come to our television shows, and I would coach them, and I would concentrate on their messaging, and I'd be like, nope, not that.
I know. I'm going to be on Fox News in a couple of weeks. I love the gals that work there. Yeah.
They're awesome. I was just there a week ago today, actually. And it's just sharing and helping them share. It's their story. It's always their story. I don't change their story, but I just help them focus on what is going to remember them by.
Right.
And it's all about connections. If people realize that you're a veteran, or you are a single parent, or you have how many kids, or one child, or whatever, you find that connection.
Sometimes it could be because I'm from New York.
Right. It is. So it's just that, and I love guiding people and then figuring out how to help their businesses thrive and what we need to concentrate on. And they're so busy doing their business great, they're not thinking of marketing or PR because they shouldn't. That's what they do best.
And they think, oh, I can't afford to do that. Yeah, you can, because that takes one thing off your plate, and then this other person is going to help you be more successful.
Well, it is true, and a lot of people think, well, I can do it myself because budgets are tight and money's tight, and I totally get it. And sometimes they do okay doing it themselves.
Yeah.
But other times, they think they're going to do it. They don't get to doing it because they're so busy with their business that nothing happens and
they just
don't
grow. Okay.
And they stay flat.
They just stay okay.
Which is unfortunate. But then if they give it a shot and they give it a chance with people that can do the right thing, then just watch.
Yeah.
And that gives me joy working with people in our community. And there's so many great businesses and community members and just people who are thriving. Look at how many people are moving to Tampa Bay every single day. There's so much goodness in our community.
Oh, that's what I like to showcase. This is a great place to live. I mean, first of all, the weather, of course, is a great place. But me personally, I'm surrounded by professionals that want to make a difference in the community. Not just medical, people like you. that want to make a difference in people's lives and that are open to that. And if people could just be open on that other end, wow.
Well, and it's also synergies and collaborations. My motto is together we win, and I believe it. And I think if people come together to lift people up, to help people, to guide people, to say, hey, I'm going to do an introduction. It's just, it's good. It's good. Kindness wins. Positivity wins.
People
we can be
win.
Better community.
People
if
win.
People...
I can remember when my grandchildren were little. Computer games, blah, 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 blah. Computer games, computer games. I said, right. If the world was come to an end tomorrow and everything just stopped and you could have a computer game or human being, this is all to left for your choice. Right away they say human being. Mm. But, you know, I had to do that analogy for you to think about it. What's really important? Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, computer games are good for a lot of things.
Yeah.
But not communicating with people.
Well, and also, Linda, I think that was a good example for your grandkids. But taking the time with people being so busy and people are hurting, that we need to take the time to go past the, hey, how are you? Hey, how are you? Hey, how are you? Really listen to that answer. Because the answer may be not their normal answer.
Yeah.
And if we take the time to say, wait a minute, that's not their normal, and we ask a couple of caring questions or try to share something funny or silly or whatever,
yeah.
That will get them out of their whatever situation and have them have a better day, know somebody, notice that they matter, that they're caring, they could go on a different trajectory.
Well,
and we have to do that. We have to pay attention. People are
hurting. I have to tell you, when my mom passed away, I was in the supermarket one day, and girlfriend came up and she said, how you doing, Linda? And I said, I'm okay. And she said, I'm sick of hearing that from you.
Mm.
Ooh. And she said, I have to tell you something. When you took care of your mother, you stole my joy. And I was like, what?
Oh.
You know, I never want to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what are you talking about? She goes, Linda, I could see you swimming in quicksand, and every time I asked to help you, you said, no, I'm okay. And you didn't give me the opportunity to meet your mother either. So we need to think about that.
Well, and that was a hurtful moment, but that was a beautiful moment because that made you
open
be
my
more,
eyes.
Truly. And I know when anybody goes through a situation, and I'm terrible at accepting help. Never, never, never. I can do it myself. Well, isn't it awful when people that wanted to help you are no longer with you to be able to help you anymore?
Right.
And my second round, that happened with my mom. What I wouldn't have given to pay more attention that first time. And pausing to say, yes, even if it's a little thing that people need to help you with, just let them help you.
Yeah.
They want to help you. They don't know how to. And, you know, just do it. Let them do it. They want to do it.
And if we keep saying no, 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 no,
people aren't going to
go away.
They are.
And then we're going, I'm here all by myself.
Mm-mm.
Well, you said no to everybody that wanted to help you.
Right. And it's hard. It's a lesson. It's whatever the situation is.
But it's strength. It's not a weakness.
Yeah.
Accepting help is strength.
Because you know you would want to do it for them, so let people do it for you.
Right, like that girl told me in the supermarket.
Right.
That was an eye-opener.
Yeah, and what a good friend she was
she
to say that
say
to you.
That to me.
Right.
Because we could have just let that go.
Right.
Nothing was going to change her that, but her just telling me that story changed my perspective.
Right. And it is perspective sometimes, right?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Oh, so much of it is.
So much.
So much. And who you surround yourselves with. And what do you do? But right now, we would need to surround ourselves with our wonderful partners. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week. And did you know they got the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 for the best chiropractic in Pinellas County? So check them out.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2418. 1410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Introducing the life-changing Footbar Walker.
I'm Peggy from Danville, Kentucky, and I'm 91 years old. The Footbar Walker revolutionized my care of George. It absolutely benefits the patient and the caregiver both, and that's the beauty of it. It's so easy to use. It folds up just like a dream. I got it in and out of the car without any effort at all. The saving that I made from having to put him in a nursing home came to about $192,000.
Does someone you love use a walker? Do they struggle to get up from a seated position? Are you a caregiver dealing with physical pain and stress as you help your patient? The Footbar Walker was designed to assist not only the patient, but also the caregiver. Patients have more control standing up, and no lifting from the caregiver is required. See how it works at thefootbarwalker.com. That's thefootbarwalker.com. Peggy, would you recommend the Footbar Walker?
Do I ever? I would not be in the health that I'm in today at this age had it not been for the Footbar Walker.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I know I say it every week, but I just love that Footbar Walker. Do I ever?
She was passionate.
But it really is a great, great thing, and the Footbar Walker is now covered by insurance, so if you need more information, just send me a message on the website, and I'll get to the information about it. So, Maureen, did I hear that you're a candidate for Visionary of the Year? Tell me about that.
I am. Thank you, Linda. So I think with the advocacy that I believe in, and I tell people all the time, and they hear me, you know, share an anniversary or just passionate about paying attention to your body signs. Don't ignore them.
Yeah.
Just don't do it. And then making sure people have their colonoscopies, right? So I was recently nominated for Visionary of the Year with the Leukemia Lymphoma Society.
Wow.
Which was, I was at a speaking event in October, actually, and they said, somebody said, yeah, so we just nominated you. I was like, wait, what? I'm like, let me get back to you because that has nothing to do with what we're here for and what have you. But I sat on it because I've said, oh my goodness, I don't know if I have the bandwidth to be an advocate all day long, always, but then it's the fundraising component.
Yeah.
But I too thought it was something that I was supposed to do. So after 2 months of sitting on it, it was right around the Christmas time, I said, okay. So for me, it's again about advocacy. And it's so, it has impacted friends and colleagues of mine with leukemia and just the diagnosis.
To.
It will. And I say everybody has an it, and it's so hard to get through it. So for me, it's raising awareness, paying attention to signs, not
having
ignoring it, whatever it is, having a conversation. And then it's fundraising. And this coming week, actually, I have an event at the Center Club in Tampa on Tuesday.
I love
shameless
the
plug
Club.
Here. But it's going to be a fun event where people are going to be laughing and cheering people on. It's going to be a talent show and a roasting of some colleagues and,
nice.
And some people. But again, at the end of the day, we're raising money for people who have to navigate these
and
waters.
Need help.
And what was interesting during Hurricane Ian, in getting to know this group more, they were actually sending gift cards to people who couldn't get to their treatments because of roads being impassable and just challenges and stuff. But they wanted to make sure that they could, you know, reach out and say, hey, take care of yourself, you know, get some food and gas for your vehicles until you can get to your treatment. And it didn't, you know, delay any treatments or what have you. But it just made them think that no one forgot them.
Yeah.
Even though the world in their world of, you know, crazy Hurricane Ian was turning everything upside down. So those are just little things about what they do. But it's the research. It's advocacy. It's the, you know,
awareness.
Cheering people on. And it impacts so many people. Every 9 minutes, somebody dies of a blood cancer in our country.
It's terrible.
Every 9 minutes. In our show today, we've had, you know, nine minutes.
Think about that.
Nine minutes. Mm-hmm. So if we can do something to raise awareness, so I said, okay, sign me up. It lasts another month until May 5th, and then there's going to be a big event and gala where the people who are nominated come together, and we just share stories and advocacy and awareness.
Fabulous.
And see, so that's, it just gives me pride, and I was humbled, and I was shocked, but at the end of the day, if we can help, you know, one or 500 people, then okay, I'll do it.
All right, so we're ready to close.
Yep.
What is the last thing you want our listeners to hear today, and where can they find you?
Don't settle is something I'd like people to think and really pay attention to your body signs. Again, my name is Maureen Famiano. That's Famiano. My company is MEF Media. And think of it as magnificent, enthusiastic, fantastic media. Because I believe in what I do and I have fun doing it and sharing with others.
Thank you so much for being with me today. I so appreciate you.
I appreciate
so
you. You're
fabulous.
Awesome.
And thank you so much for caregivers for being with us today. You know, I'm here to help in any way we can. Please go to the conference website, connectingcaregiversconference.com, and register. Tune in next week. Attorney Sean Scott will be here. So if you have any legal questions or questions about Medicare, Medicaid, or whatever, you can call in next Friday, or you can email me during the week. So, as I always say, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day.